time. Coffee. Cappuccino. Java. Yes.
Shalom, shalom, everybody, and welcome to this week's coffee break. And I hope and pray that you have your coffee with you and that you are ready for tonight's broadcast. And we always say this every week, Aliyah, but you know, it is an exciting time. I think it's an exciting time for us all to come together because it's different. It's different to the normal teachings. It's a time where we can actually fellowship with people around us and where we can just be together. So it's a blessing that we can do that. And this evening, I pray that as we will fellowship around the Father's Word, that it will really impact your life and that it will speak to you. And I pray that whatever we share, that the Father will really take it and just put it in your heart and that it will be real to you, become life in your spirit. And that's what this is about. The coffee break is a time where we just fellowship together. So before I hand over to Aliyah and ask her how she's doing, I just want to remind all of you, last week we mentioned the getaway that we will be having in November on the 23rd to the 25th. And the details are found on our website. You can see the banner that's on the main page if you allow those banners to pass. Or you can simply scroll down and go to events, click on it, and you'll get all the details. And we hope that if you're in South Africa and able to come and join us for that weekend of praise and worship and prayer, that you will really consider that. We are looking forward to meeting all of you again, but we're also looking forward to Yahweh's presence. And I believe that that is so, so important. You know, brothers and sisters, we cannot go forward and do the work that the Father wants us to do if we have not had a life-changing experience. And I believe that, you know, we have life-changing experiences, but we need to continue seeking those, not experiences, but life-changing moments with the Father. And that's why it's so important that we do that. So if you would like to join us, please consider that and head over to the events and you can get all the details there. So Leah, how has your week been? And I know that there are great things coming soon for you too. You have your book launch coming soon. You have the TED Talk coming soon. And I'm looking forward to what's lying ahead. And I'm excited. I'm excited for your book launch. You know, guys, this book is one of those stories that you need to read. I encourage you to get a copy when this book comes out because it really, really is a powerful story. I've read some of it and it blew me away and it really spoke to my heart on a physical level, but also on a spiritual level. So Aliyah, how has your week been? And tell us what's going on.
Shalom, shalom, everybody. And I didn't get to say shalom, shalom, welcome to the coffee break this evening.
Feels weird, eh?
So, yeah, it's very weird. It's almost like you get into that motion and I enjoy that part of it. So welcome to the coffee break. I'm so grateful that we're all here together again. And, you know, over this weekend, I was really looking forward to the coffee break. This has been a very busy week. And I anticipate the next few months actually being quite busy.
That's right.
And as I said to somebody today, you know, I am actually a few beats behind when it comes to emails and messages. It's just reality at the moment. But because that's life and new priorities have to take center stage. So I am excited. And yes, I realize that it's my birthday this month.
Woo-hoo,
soon.
Yay.
And I think I'm getting to that age where I'm like, I can kind of bypass this one and just stay the same. But and I'm not that old. But yes, the week has been busy. I am grateful. Yes, I am looking forward to the book launch and many, many different things that are coming towards me. And I'm nervous about it as well and excited and have a lot of different thoughts and a lot of different emotions about everything because things coming are big things and new things and sometimes I think when we have new things or new experiences or big things that the Father wants us to do, we will feel a lot of a plethora of emotion and a plethora of struggle and that's it's it's overwhelming. It's like starting up a new business. You know, TED Talk is not an easy thing. And every 2 weeks I'll be at workshops and working with a speaker coach and just working really hard to present in the way that they want you to, you know, with the purity of the message. So, you know, I'm just praying Yahweh is going to give me strength for that. And yeah, I just will appreciate prayers for everything that's coming. And especially the book launch, I really want the people to be there that Yahweh wants to be there and just to share. And yeah, it's so deep. Everything is just feels very deep and overwhelming for me. And that's why I'm, yeah, just in this space. So, but otherwise, I'm good. And yeah, but how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I think this has been a great week, and I'm looking forward to the week that lies ahead. You know, there's so many things. I think the Father's speaking very loudly at the moment, and we just got to tune in to that station, if I have to put it that way, you know, and listen to what He's saying. So I'm hoping for a blessed week ahead, but I'm also looking forward to the things that the Father has in store in the next couple of months. You know, we're heading, as we said last week, into the festivals, and we're heading into a time now that is very, very important in our walk with the Father. And, you know, we shouldn't, we say this often, you know, we shouldn't just be people that, you know, wait for example, wait for the festivals and be like, oh, okay, now it's time, you know, to draw close. We should be living as if we are constantly celebrating a festival and constantly saying thank you to our King for what He's done and looking forward to that redemption that awaits all of us, you know, as we mature. And I think, Aaliyah, that, you know, just this last week doing that teaching on the bride and the bridal, you know, the bride of Messiah unveiled, and I'm coming to realize, you know, that it is, you know, Rav Shul says it's a high calling. And I think that oftentimes we don't realize that it's a high calling, and that it's, you know, it's not always an easy road. It's not always going to be, you know, happy clappy and jumping up and down and, you know, having these great mountaintop experiences, if I have to say it that way. There's going to be low times. There's going to be hard times. And there's going to be times where, you know, where because we've made a commitment to Yahweh and said this is the life that we want to live, He is a good Father, and He wants the best for us. And oftentimes we don't realize that when we say those things, you know, there comes a like an iron sharpening iron process in our lives. And I really feel that, you know, we go through things in our lives sometimes, and we don't always understand why we're going through those things, but we thank the Father that it's because He wants us to be pure. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to be the people that He can count on. I think that's what it's about. It's about having, you know, having a body of believers that He can count on and that He can do things through. So I'm looking forward to what lies ahead. And I'm looking forward again. I keep saying it, but I'm looking forward to the coffee break this evening. I think that what we're going to speak about and touch on is very important. And I think that a lot of people are going to be able to say, hey, you know what, guys? I've gone through that you're speaking about.
So, well, let us just open in prayer and commit this time to Yeshua. So, Father, we just want to say thank You this evening that You have brought us all together for this coffee break, but not only for that, Father, because You want us just to hear Your message. Father, You want us to hear Your heart. You want us to experience Your goodness. And I pray that as we sit here today, Father, that You will just surround us with Your presence, Father, with Your wraparound presence. That's just so amazing, Father, that we just need for everything. And just, Father, settle our hearts and still our beings, Father, that we, Yeshua HaMashiach, may receive everything that You have for us. Father, tonight I really pray that You will lead and guide our lives on the path that You have set before us. Father, that we will stick true to the calling, that, Father, we will just receive everything You want for us. But, Father, on this journey, that we will fulfill every mission and every mandate and every, Father, thing that You have for us to do, Father, may our hearts just be steadfast in living with You and in fulfilling Your calling to our lives. Father, we thank You. We commit this time to You. And we just pray, Father, that we can just enjoy Your presence and just, Father, be around Your word and be listening to what Your Holy Spirit has to say. We thank You, Father, and we commit ourselves to You in the mighty name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen.
Amen.
You know, Yosef, you were saying about how life is and how sometimes we go through the hard times. I cannot help but feel that this year has been a growing year in a very, very difficult way. And I'm not just saying that for myself. This is a thing I hear from many different people. And I think what Yahweh is really taking a lot of us through is the wilderness. And when we think about the wilderness, we spoke about the wilderness last week.
That's right.
We spoke about it the week before that, even. And, you know, one of the things that really stuck with me when we spoke about the wilderness and when we drew out from the scripture what we were talking about was that the Father says, you know, in the wilderness we will experience different things, and there's reasons for it. And one of the big things was that, you know, he fed them with a manna that they had never known before. Mm. And so it was basically like Yahweh was saying, I made you hungry. And I say this on the other coffee break, that I made you hungry so that you would receive something that you had never received before and never will receive often, that no one else will know. And I think that that is something that we have to cling to when we're in a time where we're possibly waiting for the breakthrough to come, where maybe things are hard, and in our families, in our lives, in our jobs, in our work, in our finances, in our health, in our marriages, in our children, in our parents, in and wanting salvation for others. But maybe not even that. Maybe it's just a season of a faith crisis. And that's a very real thing that we go through in life as people, that we often have times and seasons where things haven't turned out maybe the way that we expected, or we've encountered disappointments, or we've encountered seasons of silence where Yeshua is silent, or we don't see the things that we saw before, or we've gone through a very hard time and the Father didn't come to our rescue and we thought that he would. So there's many different things that characterize our lives. And these things, sometimes I think that we are led out through these things into a wilderness because it is the hard time that we go into. But clinging to that reality that we can find Yahweh's goodness in the wilderness. Now, in the wilderness, we obviously know that the Israelites journeyed through 42 stops. There were 42 stops in the wilderness, 42 places where they stayed. Some places they stayed in for a long time. Other places were just, you know, short stops. And those 42 places really do speak to 42 different kinds of things that we can encounter in our lives. So if we looked at that more deeply, we would look at it and see that, you know, here they stopped and they found an oasis, and it was a watering place, and they received that water for their thirst. Whereas in another place that they went to, there was only strife, and there was only the struggle that they had to encounter, that they had to overcome. And many times that the journey through the wilderness, not just, we always talk about the wilderness as a whole, but when you break it down into thinking that they had actually different destinations that they were stopping at in the wilderness, we actually realize that it's not just one long journey or one destination, that on our journey of life, that we sometimes see purpose, for example, as a destination. So I'm going to find my purpose in this life. And once I find my purpose, like people running around all the time being like, what is my purpose? What is my purpose? And there's this thought of, if I reach my purpose, I reach my destination. Right. But the truth of the matter is that our purpose should just be an arrow on our journey. And that on our journey, we're going to encounter many different stops. And that on our journey, we're going to get many different missions that we have to do, that we will do. We'll never actually arrive at a place. When we, you know, get to a point where we maybe wanted to get to, we will get to that point and then realize, okay, I'm at this point. And then something else is completely going to open up to you again. And there's going to be a new thing that you want to do, or that Yahweh wants you to do, or a new thing that you'll have to learn, or a new thing that you'll have to overcome. And you will realize there that the wilderness is not just this one place, but it's a place, and it's a journey that is made up of many different kinds of places within the journey. So the wilderness is not just this place that Yahweh takes you into. It's like, say you're in a wilderness because Yahweh wants to refine you, but he's going to take you to different kinds of places within that journey so that he could do something, so that he could heal you, so that he could love you. Or maybe, you know, sometimes we go into a wilderness because life gets hard. And even there, the Father is with us. And I think that that's the encouragement that we can really draw from. And even as we spoke about a lot in the other coffee breaks, is that Yahweh is with us in the wilderness. And when we're in the wilderness at these different places, he's going to do different things. But on the flip side this week, what became very apparent to me, which I believe and know that the Ruach shared with me this week when I was reflecting on, you know, the journey and the wilderness and all these different things that we experience as people was that I felt the Ruach and heard the Ruach say to me, you know, do not be deceived, because the devil and the enemy, our enemy, is very, very present in the wilderness as well. And sometimes we're in the wilderness and Yahweh is doing something and it's hard. When we read this week's story portion that just passed of Ki Tavo, we will read, it was in Deuteronomy, towards the end of Deuteronomy, we will read just how fearful the people were. We read a lot about terror and darkness. And yes, it's in the context of that Yahweh, you know, came down on the mountain and there was darkness and thunder and lightning. The people were terrified. But in this week that just passed, this Torah portion, you know, there's a lot of talk about fear. And there's a lot of talk about terror. And there's a lot of talk about being afraid. And there's a lot of talk about all those struggle emotions that I realized that those were struggling emotions. And in even in the Torah portion, though, it's contrasted, if we look at it, to Yahweh says that when you go over into the promised land, you're going to have all this fruit and you're going to harvest all these things. And then with joy and gladness, you go and you offer your first fruits to, you know, at the place where he's going to place his ark. And we see this difference, you know, when we go over, when we kind of go through our journey of the wilderness and we go into a better season, there's joy and there's gratitude and there's offering. We mustn't forget what Yahweh has done. But while we're in the wilderness, and you know, really the word that the Father has been laying on my heart for his people is that we must not be deceived in the wilderness. If we find ourselves in any place like that resembles a wilderness, or we sense that we're in this place, that we must not be deceived into thinking that the enemy is not also going to be active to try and get us to believe that we're less than we are, believe that Yahweh doesn't love us, believe that he's not going to come through for us. The enemy tells us all these things, and he's going to say, you know what? You're not loved. Why isn't your God coming through for you? Or you're just a failure. You know, nothing's worked out. Nothing's going to work out. You failed. And he's going to play on things. And he's not always going to come like a big hammer and go boof. And then you're going to be like, oh no, this is definitely the enemy. He's going to come in subtly. Because right from the beginning, that's what the serpent did in the Garden of Eden. He came in and he was very subtle and he was very crafty. And so the enemy is going to come in very, very sly and very quietly. And then he's going to start saying all those things. And you can just easily just start to believe them.
You know, Leah, I'm sitting looking at the computer screen while you're talking. And on my computer screen, I have a picture. It's a picture in a wilderness with a whole lot of camels. There's actually 10 camels. And they're going through this wilderness. And there's this mountain top at the back. And it's just rocks. There's just rock. There's absolutely nothing in the wilderness. And, you know, I was thinking about something that you said when you said, you know, the 42 stops. And, you know, in the scriptures, it tells us that there is 1,260 days given to the saints. And then there's 42 months that's given over to the time of the anti-Messiah, the time where he will be let loose and where the tribulation will take place, the time of testing, the time where people are going to be tested to no end. And it's amazing how the 42 stops, and like you said, with the fact that even though they were in the wilderness, there were different things happening at those 42 stops. Mm. And you know, you spoke about the enemy. And one of the things that we forget in the wilderness is that even though it's barren, even though, you know, like I'm looking at this picture, even though there's rocks and it's hard and there's like maybe an oasis here and an oasis there, there's animals. There's animals in the wilderness. There's jackals. I don't know, you know, if in America they have jackals, but hyenas and things like that we have in the Karoo, in our, you know, in the wilderness. There's snakes. And that was what spoke to me when you were talking now about the enemy. They are snakes. And the enemy is a snake. The enemy comes in like a slithering snake when you're in that wilderness and you're trying to find that oasis. You're trying to find that place where you can just get a drink of water or get something to eat. And he comes along and he's waiting to pick at you. He's waiting to bite the ankle or to jump up and nab you, to get you. And he comes with all kinds of doubt, all kinds of things that says like, hey, you know what? Yahweh doesn't love you. Look what he's done. He's not coming through for you. You're in this place that you've been in for months. Nothing's working out. And the enemy comes in like a snake. And that's exactly how I believe, you know, we need to sometimes look at the wilderness in the physical to actually understand many of the spiritual things that we go through. And you spoke about one thing that was really interesting about, you know, the manna. They wouldn't have known what the manna was like until they were actually in the wilderness. Mm. But, you know, they moved from place to place, and the scriptures tell us that they murmured and they complained because they didn't have water. There was no water there. And remember the striking of the rock. And that was something that speaks to me about, you know, if you go into the wilderness now and you go into, you know, anywhere and you don't have water with you, you're going to die. You literally not going to make it. You're going to get delirious. You're going to wander around and you're going to start to actually dehydrate like really, really quickly. And I think that, you know, we sometimes tend to forget that it's maybe we in places, like you said, Aaliyah, where we're in a place where things are comfortable, where we've got so much of the Torah given to us. We've got so much of the food given to us. But maybe we're lacking in a certain area, you know, maybe we're lacking in the spirit, or maybe we're lacking in some other area in our lives. Maybe you have the spirit of Yahweh, but you're lacking in hearing the voice of the Father. So he takes you into the wilderness because he wants to show you that other thing that you're lacking. And the only way that you actually get to realize, hey, I'm actually lacking something, is when you're taken out of that comfort zone, that you know, that palm trees and swimming pool vibe and you know, the place where you have all the food dished out for you, and you're taken away into a place that looks just like the screensaver on my computer, where there's nothing. There's just snakes, a couple of camels, and a lot of rocks, and a couple of mountains. And you know, Leah, I'm not going to do it now because I think we need to talk, you know, about what's on your heart. But maybe after the break, we can talk about something that was laid on my heart, and I want to just touch on it. You know, looking at that picture, it's such a pity I can't share this picture with everybody. But you know, when I look at this picture, I see how there's these mountains, guys, in the distance. They're in the distance and the sun is shining and it's kind of like hazy. And you know, I think sometimes that's exactly how it is. We're in the wilderness and we see the mountain and we want to be on the top of that mountain, and Yahweh keeps us in the wilderness for a reason. Because the mountain experience will eventually come once we've learned the lessons that we need to learn when we're in the wilderness. Even though it feels like rocks, even though you can only see the mountain, the end goal is he wants to lift you up. He wants to take you out. He wants to give you the thing that you're lacking. And maybe for some of you, it's water. Maybe for others of you, it's you got to learn how to build your own shelter. You know, the Israelites had to learn how to build homes. They had to live in things. They had to learn how to build those things with what they had. So maybe the Father's trying to teach us in the wilderness things that we need for the journey ahead. But not only for, you know, we always want to point fingers and lead at others and say, oh, you know, maybe Yahweh's doing this for in my life so that I can do something with other people. But maybe we need to just stop and say, maybe this is just for me. Maybe it's not got to do with me having to share anything with someone else or learn anything for some other person or for my family. Or no, it's got to do with me. It's got to do with Yahweh. What are you trying to show me in the wilderness? What is it that you want to give me? And I think, you know, I speak for myself. Oftentimes we land up in the wilderness and we're like, oh man, why am I here? What did I do wrong? Yahweh, why don't you love me? Like you said, and we start to ask all these questions. And our hope sinks in or sinks low, and we start to think to ourselves like Yahweh's deserted us and left us in the wilderness. But it's not actually like that. He's actually brought us into the wilderness for a reason, because he wants to give us something new maybe, or he wants to remove something from us. Mm. And that's important.
And you know, just the wilderness is just, it's actually a place where Yahweh takes those that he loves. Because whenever he took anybody into the wilderness, it was so that he could do something in them, so that he could restore something deeper in them. And just touching on lastly that reality of the enemy being present in the wilderness, it is such a reality that I think we need to hold on to, and that we have to become aware of. Because even when, you know, I was reminded of how with the golden calf incident. Now, all the people were there and they had Moses and he went up the mountain and, you know, 40 days and 40 nights passed. And I believe that the enemy could see this reality. And so he began whispering into the ears of the people to make a golden calf. I don't believe.
Snaky.
Yeah, I don't believe just in that moment it was just a desire of their own hearts. I believe that, yes, there was wickedness sitting in their, in many of their hearts. It's why he could play on that and feed it. But he could come and he could be like, yeah, well, you know, Moses isn't coming back. And as you said in one of the teachings, it wasn't, although, you know, the golden calf incident was about this lack of faith in Yahweh, of course, was also that rejection of the mediator.
That's right.
And that is what the enemy can do in our lives today. He can speak against our faith in Yeshua. And we can turn around and we can think, oh, my faith is strong and whatever. But he can come in and say, you know, Yeshua isn't really coming through for you in your finances. Yeshua isn't really saving this. You know, Yeshua isn't really doing this for you. Does Yeshua really love you? And then we begin to ask why. Mm-hmm. Why me? Why my family? Why my health? Why my this? Why this? Why this? And then it becomes this why. And then it becomes this misunderstanding, because he's actually feeding us this thing of, well, if God really loved you, you know, why doesn't he save you out of the situation you're in? If God really loved you, why doesn't he take you right into your promised land? If God really loves you, why is he doing this to you? It's not fair, you know. And he's the one that feeds, he feeds us a lot of these untruths, these lies. And we need to realize that sometimes we come into agreement with it silently. And you sit and you're like, yeah, why doesn't Yahweh come into my situation? And suddenly, the minute that we receive that lie, we are then receiving it as truth, and it becomes our reality. And then, you know, any negative thought is just a psychological fact, that any negative thought starts to affect your emotions, and then you start getting all the D's: despair, discouragement, depression, and just
disaster.
This, our absolute hopelessness. And it's we got to stop and we got to sit back and get rid of all this, the guilt that we feel, the shame that we feel, because that's not important. What's important is Yahweh wants us to believe and receive truth. So when we're in the wilderness and we receive, you know, what the enemy says, we receive that then as truth, and it starts to become bad for us within. Whereas if we see and recognize that this is what the enemy is doing, it's about learning that very, very sharp discernment. And that's the gift of wisdom and knowledge as well. It's not just discernment. It's a gift of wisdom and knowledge, and asking Yahweh to give us that wisdom, give us that understanding, so that when something enters into our mind, we can quickly discern and know, you know, this is the enemy, or this is just something that comes from me. Because we can't exclude that, Yosef. Sometimes when we ourselves are in hard situations, because of our own hearts, we can think bad things. It's not always the devil. We give him too much credit sometimes. Yes. He is active in the wilderness. And we know that we need to be aware of that. He whispered into the hearts of the people. He whispered into their hearts to build that golden calf. Yet they had to physically build it. So he didn't build it for them. He just said, hey, you know, Moses is dead. In other words, he's trying to say to me and you today, Yeshua is dead. He's not coming for you. He's not coming for your situation. He's not going to save you. So why don't you build something in its place? In other words, why don't you go out and make your own way for this? Why don't you go out and, your wife is mistreating you and God's not coming through for your marriage? Well, why don't you just kick it to the curb, man. You can always find someone else. Why don't you do this? And you begin to reject the mediator, reject the savior. He's not him, because you still are saved and you believe in him, but you begin to reject the idea that he can come for you in your situation. And then that leads to despair. And if it goes very deep, which sometimes takes a long time, it may lead to negative actions.
You know, Leah, we also need to, you know, remember that even Yeshua, when he was in the wilderness, was tempted by the adversary. You know, in the wilderness, there he was, and there the adversary came, and he tried to tempt him and tried to get him to, you know, to go off the rails, if I have to put it that way. And Yeshua used the word continually and said, it is written. And, you know, not only that, we also need to remember that in the wilderness, The enemy likes to use people with openings in their lives, friends, family members, people in your sphere that are not actually truly committed to Yahweh. And the enemy will use people like that in your life and bring them along your path. You know, even in the life of Job, there was his friends that, you know, on the outside, it looks like, oh, he has good friends coming to, you know, to intercede on his behalf and coming to help him. But in actual fact, they came there as agents of the enemy. They came there to try their utmost to actually get this guy to just quit and throw in the towel. You know, and so often that's why I say it continually in many of the teachings, there's a God way and then there's a good way. And oftentimes we, instead of running to Yahweh, we run to other things when we're in the wilderness. We run to all kinds of other solutions to try and, you know, mend our wounds or to try and fix us. You know, instead of running to the Father who says in his word that I'm your shelter, I'm your portion, I'm your protector, all these things, we try and do that while we're in the wilderness. We try and, you know, find some sunscreen. We try and find a piece of metal that we bang upon so that we have a shield. And we try to do all these things in the wilderness because it's a survival mode. We're in survival mode, just like anybody that goes into the wilderness would be, and we're trying to protect ourselves, and Yahweh is trying to say, I've brought you here and I will protect you. I want you just to trust me. I don't want you to lean upon the arm of flesh. I want you to trust in me because I will be the one who leads you. And that's why, you know, Leah, it's easy said and done. It's easy to say these things. But the truth of the matter is, I think we all go through these times where it's difficult. And we have to be real about this. Let us not be people that go like, oh, but you know what? I've been in this place. I know about it. Let's not be like that. Let's be real and say, hey, you know what? Yes, I'm in a wilderness, or maybe I've been in a wilderness, or hey, you know what, I'm going through my wilderness. Let's not be, you know, proudful and be like, oh, but you know what, I've slam dunked this thing, I've got through it, and no one can tell me. You know, there's going to come another time in your life, brothers and sisters, where you'll be in the same spot again. If Yahweh is in you, and he is working his good will and pleasure in you, there are going to be lots of times in your life where you go into the wilderness. Because, you know, when he is wanting to take us to a new place, or he's wanting us to experience him in a new way, or to experience the thing that's lacking in our life, the only way to do that sometimes is to get you into a place where there's isolation. Because he knows what's best for us. He knows that if you're not in isolation and away from friends, they're going to give you the wrong advice. You know, people are going to give you advice that can derail you. So Yahweh, in his loving kindness, he takes us away from the chaos and the things of others, and he puts us in isolation, if I have to put it that way, where the rocks are. And then it's you and him and the adversary. But if we know Yahweh's word like Yeshua did, then the adversary has nothing to stand on. But it's so important, because sometimes we might be in the wilderness because we are maybe lacking in our hope in the Messiah, or maybe we're lacking in our faith or things like that. So it's difficult. And that's when the enemy plays hard on our emotions and on our situation to try and get us to think, hey, you know what, it's not going to work. But the good thing, Elijah, is that Yeshua said, and you know, the scriptures tell us that he who started the good work in us is faithful and just to bring it to completion. And that's what I believe. If you're in the wilderness, there's a reason. It's because, like you said, he loves us.
Amen. I think that we need to continue this conversation after we play a song, because we've been talking for quite a while, but we are so enjoying being with you this evening. So we're going to play this next song. It's called Great Things by Elevation Worship. And when we come back, we will continue our conversation. And so enjoy the song. Welcome back to the Coffee Break Hour. And Yusuf, I almost fell off my chair.
For real?
I almost fell off my chair. I wish I could say it was a Holy Spirit moment, but no. I was sitting on the edge and just perching, listening to the song, and almost fell off. But welcome to the Coffee Break Hour. That's how explosive this coffee break has been for me this evening. So welcome back.
Tumbling backwards.
We hope that you enjoyed that song. What a awesome song. Yeah. I mean, the person that wrote this song, that song, just knew what they were talking about, didn't they, Yusuf? Mm. About being in the wilderness and just what we can experience and what we can know. I probably believe in my heart that whoever wrote that song wrote it because they had been through a wilderness season that had probably taught them a lot of things.
Mm. You know, Leah, you mentioned before the break, you were saying, you know, in the wilderness, we experience different things and there's different kinds of wildernesses. For example, you know, we know that like in South Africa, we have what we call the Karoo, and in Arizona, you have a different kind of wilderness than what we have here. But, you know, I was reminded when we were talking earlier about the coffee, I mean, about what we were going to speak on the coffee break, about a passage of scripture that's found in Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 35. And you know, when I went and read it and see some of the comments, you know, that commentators made about this passage, I was kind of like, wait a minute, I don't agree with all of this stuff. You know, because it's always put in a negative sense that Israel is this bad nation, you know, that rebelled. And we know they did rebel. But at the same time, when I read this passage of scripture, something really, you know, spoke to me in my heart. Because what it says is this, it says, "And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there I will plead with you face to face." And when I read this, I thought, well, what is the wilderness of the people? And it's the only place in the scriptures where this is mentioned, where it says that I will take you into the wilderness of the people. And what came to, you know, when I was reading through it, what's interesting is that when you look at the history of Israel and you see that, you know, they were in the wilderness from Egypt, it was kind of like a freedom from slavery. But because of their rebellion and because of the things that they did, Yahweh took them into the wilderness of the people, which was Babylon. He took them into a place where they were captive in this place. And he says, "I will take you into this place where you will be in the wilderness of other nations, of other people," because they were actually being scattered amongst the people. And during this time of your exile, or during this time of your diaspora, that's where I will actually meet with you face to face. And it actually means that I will meet with you like a judge sits in front of an accused. That's actually what it's talking about, where somebody's face to face looking you straight in the eye. It's not like a matter of like, oh, okay, we're talking. It's actually where eye contact is being made and where there's this connection that's being made. And, you know, like I said, the commentators look at it from a bad sense. I look at it from a very good sense. Because when I read this, I came, you know, I was saying to the Father, what are you trying to say to me? And I realized that, you know, throughout the history of Israel, there's many times where they've been in the wilderness, but I believe that we as the children of Yahweh, we as those that have been grafted into Israel and that are part of that whole commonwealth, Yahweh is doing a new thing among us. And that's why he's taken many people into the wilderness. It's not where he wants to say, "Oh, you rebellious person." But at the same time, we have to be honest and see what it is about. In the wilderness, it was also the place where Yahweh drew a line between the faithful and the rebellious. It was where Yahweh said, "These are those that are for me, and these are those that were against me." It was also the place where the rebellious were kind of shown, where they were revealed in the wilderness. And I really feel that the Father is saying, you know, that the wilderness is a time where he's showing the difference between the righteous and the unrighteous, where he's taking people into the wilderness to prepare them for what lies ahead. And you know, when I read this, I saw that it was the time where Yahweh would purge out the rebels, but also where there was a remnant that would remain. And you know, the Bible tells us that Elijah went into the wilderness too. Job also went into the wilderness. Even Paul's, it says that Paul also had a time of like a wilderness experience. You remember he fell off his horse and he was sitting at that man's house for 3 years where he was learning and receiving. He didn't do anything. He was just in this place for 3 years. So I really feel that what the Father is wanting us to understand, that it's, you know, in the wilderness, it's where the faithful are being pruned and where the unfaithful are being removed, where Yahweh is busy doing a new thing, where he's showing his faithful people that I am Yahweh your Elohim, who is long suffering. I am Yahweh your Elohim that is for you. It's not against you. But he's also saying for those that are rebellious, those that are trying to do their own thing, it's going to be a place where you're going to be purged. It's going to be a place where you're going to be either for me or against me. And it's so important because, you know, when I looked at what you said, Ali, about fear, you know, We need to understand that in the wilderness period, or in the time where we're in the wilderness, a lot of times, like, maybe we don't always understand that this is for our good, and fear sets in, and fear, you know, I just wanted to touch on the fear, Leah, because fear is also in regard to the sense when we fear and when we worry about things and when we look at things from a worldly perspective, it actually removes Yahweh's faithfulness from us. It removes Yahweh's faithfulness of who he is from us. And that's why Yahweh, he wants us to understand that his faithfulness is what keeps us alive. It's his faithfulness that kept Israel alive. Even though they were being tested and they were failing their tests and they were messing up, Yahweh was for them continually. And his desire for them in the wilderness, even though they were failing, is that they would be a stronger nation, that they would be a people of his power and his presence. And this is what I'm trying to get at. I'm trying to explain that Yahweh is taking the faithful remnant of his people into the wilderness for a reason, because it's in the wilderness, like you said, Elia, that we begin to thirst for more water. It's in the wilderness that we begin to desire his protection. And you know, it's in that place where you're burning and where you're feeling like you have nothing, that Yahweh is supposed to be our protection and our provider. And if we really believe that Yahweh is doing a new thing on the earth, and that there's a time coming where the sons and daughters of righteousness are going to go forth and do the work that he's called them to do, then they have to be a people of his presence. And the only way sometimes that we will be the people of his presence is if we become a people that have been totally, totally cleaned out of everything. And I'm sorry to say it, but we have to be honest and see it for what it is. We live in a society where everything is done for us. Where we sit in front of our computers, we jump on the internet if we're feeling lonely, we go on a you know, on the internet and we find a prayer that we can pray, or we find whatever we need. But Yahweh is wanting us to be a people that are so emptied out that our dependency is 100% on him. That when we are feeling ill in our bodies, when we're feeling that we are struggling, when we're feeling like, hey, you know what, I don't have what it takes to go on anymore, that we don't turn to other things, but that we turn to him. How are we going to be a people of his presence if we are not ready to say, hey, Yahweh, I know that you can do these things for me? How can I stand up and proclaim this message to others if I haven't gone through the wilderness myself and had a face-to-face encounter, like he says, with him? I don't believe that this is just for judgment. I believe that this is also the fact that Yahweh is saying, hey, you know what? You are scattered in the nations at the moment. We are all scattered. We have not yet entered into that promised land, the true Israel that Yahweh wants to give us. We are scattered. And Yahweh is saying that even though you're in the wilderness of the people, even though you're in a place where it feels like you have no friends, where there's no community, I, Yahweh, your Elohim, will be there, and I will be speaking to you face to face. And in this place that you're in, you will know me, and you will experience me, and you'll be able to speak about me to others. And you know, it's not about how much we can speak. It's not about how well we can pray. It's not about what we pray. It's about how much do you see Yahweh face to face. In other words, how much of a desire do you have to rid yourself of everything that hinders you from seeing him and looking at him face to face in the wilderness?
I'm reminded of what I heard this week, where someone said that, you know, when we face uncertainty and when we face doubt and when we face these realities, it should lead to the pursuit of truth.
Amen.
And when we're in a wilderness, or we're dealing with any of these things, or we're present at any one of our 42 stops in the wilderness, what we struggle with, even, you know, our insecurities or our fears or the doubts or the questions or many of the things that we face, maybe even in the natural realm, losing a job or anything like, or for example, it can lead to an absolute pursuit of truth. It can lead to us coming before the Father and laying our hearts before him and seeking not only the why of the wilderness. What am I supposed to learn in the wilderness? Why why is this happening? You know, maybe you've been thrown into a wilderness because someone else has made choices around you that has thrown you into this wilderness, but nothing catches the Father off guard. He knows that that was the place that you were going to come to. He knows the hard season. He knows the struggle. So he's already present there, and he's going to use it for your good, because no matter what happens, even if it breaks, even if you break, even if the situation breaks, it's going, he can redeem it, because that's his business, redemption. But it should lead to that pursuit of truth, in not just asking more the woe and the why, but the how. Father, how do you want me to go through this? What am I supposed to be learning? How am I going to face this? What is this speaking to in me? And it's exactly like you said, I know that scripture in Ezekiel is about, on one level, you know, in context, it is about judgment. And there Yahweh was going to enter into judgment with them because of the things that they had done wrong. That's right. And they were going to go into Babylon for 70 years so that the land could enjoy its Sabbaths, because they had not, you know, obeyed to give the land rest. But the scripture that we love to quote is Jeremiah 29 verse 11, which says, you know, I have plans to prosper you, to give you hope in the future. But that was actually the words that Yahweh gave to Jeremiah, which Jeremiah wrote to the exiles in Babylon, because Yahweh was saying to them, I'm going to give you a hope and a future. I'm going to prosper you. I have plans not to harm you, but to do good to you. So even there, when he had entered into that judgment, taken them into that place face to face, he was saying, I'm still going to do good things for you. So I believe that, like you said, that face to face has a double meaning. Not just that he was going to judge him, but that also perhaps in that they would come to know him in the face of his mercy and in the face of his truth and that goodness. And that's what our wilderness can do for us. And it can deepen our faith then, because if we see Yahweh come through, and, you know, if the Father just comes through for us right at the beginning of our hard times, it doesn't really produce much within. And it doesn't really also so develop a value that we can attach to things. So when Yahweh does come through for us, we will know the value, and that deepens our faith. It will deepen our faith in a way that the next time we face something hard, we will be able to hold on to that deeper faith because of what we've been through before. Or we will be able to hold on to a deeper faith for someone else that comes to us that's now in a similar situation that we used to be. Now we can hold on to a similar faith for them because we've been through that and we saw Yahweh's redemption. And we can hold on to a deeper faith to minister out of and to share with the world about his love from a deeper place because of a very, very hard time that we've been through. It can produce in us a deep fragrance.
You know, you were mentioning about the judgment, and if you look at that passage in Ezekiel 20 and you go further on in it, then it actually tells you in Ezekiel chapter 20 verse 38, it talks about the fact that he will purge out the rebels, that he will remove the wicked from among them. And then it says, and then the remnant, as written in Zechariah 13:8, shall all serve Elohim in the land. And that's actually what it says in Ezekiel chapter 20 verse 40. So the wilderness period, it was to remove the wicked, but then also to have the remnant, those faithful ones. And I believe, like you say, the faithful that remain then get to experience Yahweh in a way that that no one else is going to experience. And the other thing I also wanted to just mention is that, you know, sometimes when we're in the wilderness, we forget that Yahweh's love not only endures, but there was something that was on my heart when Aaliyah was speaking. And I think that oftentimes when you get into the wilderness, Aaliyah, we as people tend to be fake. And I don't know why. You know, tonight, the whole time while I'm speaking, I know when Yahweh is speaking to me, I struggle all of a sudden to speak. It's kind of like everything I want to say just doesn't make sense because there's something else that I need to say. And I really feel tonight that I want to say this to every single one of you that's listening. Stop being fake. You know, we need to stop being people that are like, oh, but you know what? I'm going through this hard time, but it's okay. Yahweh's with me. Let's be real and say how we feel and say, hey, you know what? You know, I feel like I'm standing in the middle of a wilderness and there's absolutely no one around me. And all I see is this massive mountain, but I don't know how to get up it.
And I hate it.
Yeah. And you need to say, we need to be real and say, you know what? I hate this place that I'm in, but I know that Yahweh will help me, but I'm struggling. Because so so often I speak to people, Aaliyah, and we speak too often to people, and it's like you can see that inside they're breaking and inside they're feeling hopeless and inside they're saying, you know what, I don't really know if Yahweh even loves me. I don't even know if Yahweh actually cares. But when you get them and you counsel them, then it's like they have all the religious answers in the book. Mm-hmm. Every single thing that they've ever learned and heard from another person, it's all down there in their little notebook that's in their brain. And then when you ask them things, they come with these answers one by one. But you're looking at them and saying, just be real. Just tell me how you feel. Because you know why? When we are real with the Father, when we are real one to another, that's when brokenness comes and openness comes, because the Father says, hey, you know what? I see that place in your heart. I see who you really are. I see what you're doing and I want to heal you. But we can't when we have these walls of pride and religion and like I have it all together. Sometimes you don't have to have it all together. I guarantee you, brothers and sisters, that Rav Shul didn't have it all together all the time. We need to remember something. You know, you read things in the scriptures where we read about great men and women. For example, David. And you know, David, he says something interesting, and it's found in one of the Psalms. It's found in Psalm 57 verse 7. He says, my heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. But David's heart wasn't steadfast always and continually. David had to endure times in the wilderness too. David went into the wilderness when Saul was chasing him down. He lived in a cave for so long. David was running away and he was living in the wilderness for a long time where he was alone. And go and read the Psalms where he cries out to Yahweh and he says, my enemies are pursuing me. Help me because I don't know what to do. There's so many Psalms where David cries out and he says, I don't know what to do. And he says, when, O Yahweh, will you avenge these things? When will you stand up for me?
And he even says, he was the one that wrote Psalm 22 that says, my God, why have you forsaken
Amen.
Me?
Amen.
And that's spoken to me many times, because David was not afraid ever. And that's something that irritates the life out of me, Yosef. Like, David was never ever afraid to tell Yahweh how he felt. Mm-hmm. He never ever was afraid to say, Yahweh, why have you left me? Why have you forsaken me? Why do the wicked prosper? Father, why are these things happening? Check my heart, test me, see that I haven't done anything bad in me. There's no bad that I should be having to deal with this. Why, oh Yahweh, why have you forsaken me? But then you'll see there's that shift that often comes in the psalm. When he pulls out his heart before Yahweh and he gets really real, messy real, and does some ugly crying and does some good stuff and good breaking, what happens? There's a shift that comes. Even in Psalm 22, the shift moves from why Yahweh, and it's really hard and it's really tough, and hope comes. Mm. It's almost like there's a dark cloud of rain that's pouring on him, and then Yahweh steps in. Because when we are so absolutely real, it shows Yahweh that we are vulnerable. It shows Yahweh that we trust him. It shows Yahweh that we're willing to be open. And it shows Yahweh that we're not trying to pretend. And what happens is he comes with a sweet, sweet presence, and he just descends upon us and gives us hope. And hope replaces the why. And that's when David, often in the psalm, says, now I've come to understand. Now you've shown me. When I've seen your beauty, when I've seen your presence, now you show me that this is how it is. So when we get really real, exactly like you're saying, Yosef, that's when Yahweh steps in. And my journey for myself that I can't share with others because it's so personal. This I can't explain it, but I know that when I am real with the Father, then he comes in and there's an exchange that happens, because that's the beauty of trust. I believe that people have all the answers sometimes because they're trying to just protect themselves. So it's like, okay, I I'm protecting myself. Also, we've been taught false stuff. To be a good believer means that we never go through this. To be a good believer means we never test God. To be a good believer means we never ask why. To be a good believer, that's junk. There's no such thing as being a good believer makes me say I never ask why. You know, Psalms is the testimony to what's really real. And David himself writes in the Psalms, pour your heart out before God. Pour it out like water, because that's what it's about.
You know, I want to end off this evening with a challenge to every single one of you. And I think this is something that's been on my heart the whole coffee break. Maybe that's why I've been mincing my words and swallowing things and not being able to say what I needed to say. But the truth of the matter is, you know, Aaliyah, about a week ago, the Father looked well, not looked at me, but I felt the Father speaking to me, and really, I would say it was as if he was looking straight into my heart. And the truth of the matter is that, you know, we often cry out to Yahweh, Father, I want your presence. Father, I desire to be with you. Father, I want to experience you more. Or Father, I want you to use me. I want to be used in your kingdom. I want to do something for you. But we don't actually realize the truth or the depth of what we're actually asking. And many times the Father, he takes us through these moments in our lives and these wilderness experiences because he wants to give you what you asked for. He wants to give you more of himself. Mm. He wants to give you more of his presence. But the reason why you've got to go through the wilderness is because you're so filled with other things, and we're so filled with ourselves, we're so filled with the world, we're so filled with formulas and ideas and studies and things, and then we get to this point where we think we have it all, and Yahweh is saying, I want to strip you bare, I want to take all of those things away from you so that your dependence will not be on anything that is man-made or anything that is not of me, and your dependence will be 100% on me. Then I will blow your mind away. But you know, Aaliyah, the other thing is that we need to get to a point where we are so desperate for Yahweh. And unfortunately, I feel that there are so many people today who confess Yahweh with their mouths, but they are not truly desperate for him in the way that he wants them to be desperate. Mm. And what I mean by this is will you abandon everything to become desperate for Yahweh? In other words, will you stand there with your hair undone, with your hands shaking, if I have to put it like that, and if Yahweh knocks you down on the ground under his presence, will you be so worried about how you look when you're crying and bawling and your makeup's running all over the place, and you're sitting there with your head down on the ground and thinking to yourself, what are people thinking about me? Will you worry about that, or will you be more concerned about what Yahweh is doing in your life and allow it to happen? That's what I'm talking about. The desperateness. Think about a guy in the wilderness that's going through the wilderness. He is so desperate for a drink of water that he will do anything. He doesn't care what he looks like. He doesn't care about the blisters on him. He doesn't care about how he looks or how he doesn't look or whether he's presentable or not. Just give me some water. And that is what I'm trying to say. I feel Yahweh saying to his people, I have taken you into the wilderness so that you will thirst and hunger after my righteousness, so that what I'm about to do upon this earth will not just be something that passes you by, but it will be something that transforms your life and gets you ready for what lies ahead. That's what I really honestly feel in my life, that's what the Father is saying. Yahweh wants to give us something that is so profound, but we got to hunger for it. He's not just going to give it to you if you're not hungry for it. He wants us to be hungry because then it becomes part of our lifestyle, and then it becomes part of who we are. And then when the enemy comes in like a flood, Aaliyah, the righteous will stand up. We will be the people that he wants us to be. Why? Because we've gone through the wilderness and we've been tried and tested and ready for what lies ahead.
Amen. Well, I want us to go to our final song for the evening before we come back and pray together. And I just want to ask if that you have any prayer requests or that you've had something resonate on your heart while we were speaking this evening, and even with what Yosef shared at the end, because I know that what was shared this evening in this coffee break was in Yeshua's heart for us tonight. And so if you have something that you need to put down there, we invite you to do that now during the song. And when we come back, we're going to pray together. So this is a beautiful song that I really pray will bless and minister to your heart this evening. May it be a song that you can sing from your heart, called Tethered by Phil Wickham. See you when we get back.
With you, tethered to your heart. there's nothing better than living in your love, caught up in the wonder of being in your presence, of knowing such a friendship to be with you, my God, in everything I am. God, I throw to you. I just want my life to ever be entwined with you, tethered to your heart. I just want my soul.
I'm sorry, but this coffee break has been absolutely crazy, and I really just hope that you guys can hear us. And I've had to take my headset off because I'm hearing the feedback of the coffee break, and it's just crazy. So please let us know if you can still hear us and if the sound is still good. But you know, I really believe that Yahweh wanted us to just speak from the heart this evening, and to speak in a very, very deep way this evening. And maybe that's sometimes why, you know, we have all these problems, and both Yosef and myself just had this burning and overwhelming sense of what we needed to do this evening, what we needed to say and share. And we believe that will go into the spirit realm tonight, and that it will just manifest Yahweh's goodness and His truth in the seasons that we find ourselves in. So we also know that there are quite a few prayer requests this evening, and we really want to take that seriously and really want to just commit this time to Messiah Yeshua. We want to just cleanse out the airways by the blood of Yeshua. And just, Father, we just pray tonight that everything will just be perfect, Father, as we just pray together, as we just bring all of our needs and our big needs tonight, Father, our big things for our families, for ourselves, to you, Father. We want to just pray, Yeshua, that your blood would just surround us, that it would be between us, that it will be, Father, uniting us and keeping out anything that is not of you, in Yeshua's name. And that, Father, you would just have this time, and Father, may we just come and close our eyes and open up our hearts and our hands, and Father, may we just pray into these places that you want us to pray tonight, Father. And we just thank you for that. And Father, firstly this evening, I really want to pray for the fires, Father, the fires that are burning, Father, the wind that is blowing, Father, there by Tavalingwe, Father, this place where we always go to celebrate your feasts. And I just just pray tonight, Father, that we will all join hands and we want to petition you, Yeshua, tonight, because only you can make the wind stop, Father. The wind is so bad there and these fires are burning, Father, and it's Father, not a good situation. We cry out to you tonight, Yeshua, that the wind will stop, Father, that a miracle will happen in that area in the mighty name of Yeshua, that Father, that miracle will be seen, Father, and that we will know that you are the God of the wind, Father. You are the God of everything, Father. You draw the wind, like your word says, from the corners of the earth. Tonight we petition you, Father, that the wind will stop, that Father, you will send relief, Father, from the fires that are burning, Father, that the fires will die down, Father, that you'll protect the life of every single person, Father, that is fighting those fires right now, Father. The people that you see, Father, I pray tonight, Father, for a miracle in the mighty name of Yeshua. Father, we pray and I pray, Yeshua, you commanded the wind. I'm just reminded as I pray, Father, how Yeshua, you just stood on that boat that was on the Sea of Galilee and you rebuked the wind and it died down when everyone was afraid in that boat. And I'm reminded of that. I pray, Yeshua, that you will arise, that you will rebuke that wind, that you will rebuke it and that it will die down. And Father, that we will be able to proclaim your name and see that miracle in the mighty name of Yeshua. Yeshua, we petition you as your children for this and we thank you, Father. We just thank you for that. Father, we want to lift up our sister Grace to you this evening, Father. As she had to say goodbye to her mom, Father, and all those emotions, all those feelings, Father, with everything that is lying ahead for her. Father, I want to pray tonight that you will wrap Sister Grace in your strong arms, Yeshua, that your love will be wrapped around her, Father, so tight that you will draw her into you, Father, and that she will just feel your strong presence, just calling her daughter, come into my arms and just be loved by me and be received by me and be comforted by me. And Father, that image is just so deep in my spirit tonight of you, Yeshua, just wrapping your arms around Grace and just holding her and saying that you are my child and you are my daughter. You've got nothing to feel bad about, but just come and be in my arms and be comforted, be loved, be nourished in this season that you find yourself in. Be fed with manna, have your thirst quenched and be just refreshed and refilled and know that you are so loved. I believe tonight, Yeshua, that you're also saying that you're going to take care of Grace's mom, that you're really going to take care of her. And I just really feel that really strongly as I'm praying that just to say, Sister Grace, you don't have to worry about your mom, but Yahweh is saying that he's going to take care of her. And Father, I just pray that you will take care of her, that you will wrap her in your love, and that, Father, she will come to know you in a deeper way, even as she goes home to Korea, that, Father, you will just be with her so, so strongly. Father, tonight, I also want to lift up Michaela to you, Father. I know that the past time has been so incredibly difficult, Father, not only for her, but for Sudi and the whole family, Father. And I just really want to pray tonight, Father. We just want to speak and we want to stand, Father, that we want to just cast off that depression or that pain in Michaela tonight, Father. No despair, no thoughts of suicide. It must go in the mighty name of Yeshua Mashiach. Father, we just declare that. And Father, I know that Sudi, like she said, is feeling hopeless and tired, not knowing what to do and not to say. Father, I want to pray. None of us know what to do. None of us know what to say, Father, in this that Michaela really needs right now. But Father, we know that you know, and you know her, Father, and you love her, and you don't want to let her go, and you're not going to let her go, Father. And I pray tonight, Father, we just want to reject a spirit of anything that's coming against her that wants to cause her to take her life, Father, because you have a destiny for her, Father. You have such a huge and powerful plan, Father. And in this time where, Father, I just have that sense that she feels so incredibly lost, like she's in this overgrown forest that's wild and there's all these horrible things going on, Father. I really, really want to pray that, Father, you will shine a light on her path and that she will be able to see where she needs to go, Father, that you will lead her and that you will guide her, that you will show Michaela so clearly, Father, that she will see the light, that it will shine, and Father, that she will be led by you. Yeshua, do not be silent in this situation. I pray to you this evening for Michaela's life, Father, that it's not ever going to be lost, but Father, that her life will be redeemed in your hand. And Father, we know that you can heal, we know that you can set people free, and we pray for Michaela. We just want to come and want to surround her. We just want to pray protection over her life tonight, and also want to just uplift Sudi to you, Father. that you would give Sudi, Father, just this joy, Father, that's going to overtake that, Father. I pray that you would give her the shalom, Father. I pray that you will restore to her the joy of her salvation, Father. And that, Abba, Father, you will just also be with her and comfort her and love her, Father, in this time that she finds herself in, where she is tired and doesn't know what to do anymore. Father, we pray tonight and we just come, even as we spoke about last week when those guys just lowered down their friend who was on that bed paraplegic in front of your feet, Yeshua. We want to come and we want to lower this situation at your feet, Yeshua, and we want to pray that you will do a miracle today, Father, tomorrow, this week, that you will do a miracle for this family. Father, this evening I just want to end off with just praying that you will ready our hearts, Father, as next weekend is going to be the start of Yom Teruah. I pray, Father, that you will ready our hearts to meet with you on these festivals, that we are going to experience them in a huge explosive way that's going to change our hearts and lives. And we're so grateful for this, Father, and we just commit this to you in the mighty name of Yeshua Mashiach. Amen.
Father, tonight I just want to thank you so much that even despite all the complications and all the technical difficulties, Father, that we could still broadcast this broadcast. And Father, tonight, before I pray for the people that have been laid on my heart, Father, as they've come up on this list, Yahweh, I really want to pray for everyone that is listening, Father. I want to pray tonight, Father, in the name of Yeshua, Father, that you will break our mindsets, Father, that you will give us a new heart, that you will give us, Father, a fire and a deeper desire, Father, and a hunger for you, Father, in everything that we do. Father, as Micah was saying, Father, may we be people who do not long after the flesh, Father, but walk by the Spirit as we have never walked before. I pray, Father, that the sons and daughters of righteousness, Father, will arise in this generation, Father, like we have never experienced. And Father, that people out of this group, Father, will go forth with such a fire burning inside of their lives, Father, because of the things that you are doing in them, Father. I pray, Yahweh, that their faith, Father, will be revolutionized, Father, that the way that they serve you will no longer be the same, Father, but that it will go from strength to strength and from glory to glory. Father, that they will move in ways that they have never moved before. And Father, that their giftings and that the things that you have given them, Father, will be used in this generation, Father, for your glory. And Father, that we will no longer be a people, Father, that question anything, Father, but that we will be a sturdy people, a strong people, Father, a people that marches forth, Father, as your word says, a mighty army of fierce warriors, Father, in this generation. And I believe that, Father. I believe, Father, that every single thing that you've been doing, Father, in this group of people, Father, is for a reason. Father, they are not here on this coffee break, Father, for any other reason, Father, but to know you, to experience you, and to grow, Father. And I pray that everything that they have learned, Father, will become part of who they are as their armor, Father, that they will put on Messiah Yeshua, and Father, that they will be, as their teaching, as we said recently, Father, a perfect people, a people, Father, that want to be the image bearers that they have been called to be. So, Father, tonight, I really also want to lift up, Father, our sister to you, Father. I want to pray, Father, in the name of Yeshua for Ali Grace. Father, we know, Yahweh, that she is in the wilderness, Father, of the people, in a place, Father, where she doesn't know you, Father, in a place where she is a stranger, Father, but yet you know her by her name, Father. You know every hair that is on her head tonight, Father, and we want to pray for her protection, Father. Mm-hmm. We want to pray, Father, that when she feels or when she goes in the wrong direction, Father, that you will hear the prayers of her parents, Father, that you will hear the prayers of those that are praying for her, Father. And Yahweh, I believe that you are God that hears our prayers, Father, and that you do protect our children, Father, that you do that, Yahweh, because you love your children. You love, Father, both Micah and Brandy, Father, and I believe that when they cry out to you, Father, that you do hear them. So we ask Yahweh for their protection. We also think of Bracha's son tonight, Father, and we lift him up to you. And we also ask, Father, that you will protect him, but Father, that you will deliver him, Father, that he will be saved in this generation, Father, that he will turn unto you, Father, and that his life will be changed in a great and powerful way. Father, I also want to lift up tonight Liana to you, Father, and her grandchild, Father. And we want to ask in the name of Yeshua, Father, that wherever that infection is in his body, Father, that they will find it, Father, that they will be able to treat it. And Father, that as she's there and she prays, Father, that as she prays over that child, that there will come healing in the name of Yeshua. And Father, that that child will know, Father, that it wasn't by the doctors and it wasn't by anything else, Father, but by your hand. And we ask that, Father, in the name of Yeshua. We thank you tonight, Father, and we bless you in Yeshua's name. You know, before we end off tonight, I just want to say something to Sister Grace. When When Aaliyah was praying this evening, I was reminded of something. You know, it was quite strange. This weekend, my mother-in-law was here, and you know, we were talking and reminiscing about things of the past. And my mother-in-law doesn't really know my full testimony. She gets little bits and pieces as we go along. But one thing that we were sharing with her this weekend was, you know, how the Father delivered me when I was standing in front of a magistrate, and how I should have gone to jail for 10 years, no questions asked, because I had absconded from my parole. And, you know, something I wanted to share with you, Sister Grace, is this, that sometimes Yahweh, He does things that far outweighs anything that you could ever dream or imagine. And many times He works in the last second of time. When we are standing in the court right in front of the magistrate, and when it looks like there is no hope, that's when the Father moves, and that's when the Father does things. And I really felt to encourage you tonight to say to you that the Father's got you, and it's going to look to you maybe through all of this like He's not there. There's going to come a time where, just like this wilderness teaching and thing that we spoke about tonight, where it will feel like, man, what's going on? I'm at my last straw. And in that moment, that's when the Father acts, so that the glory and the honor and the praise can go to Him. And I just felt to encourage you with that tonight, that when it looks like things are falling apart, when it feels like you're standing in front of the magistrate and the judge, and nobody's going to change their mind, know that Yahweh's got it, and that Yahweh's in control. No judge is in control of your life. Yahweh's in control of your life, and Yahweh orders the footsteps of the righteous. Mm-hmm. So remember that. And may Yahweh bless you, and may Yahweh keep you, and we will continue to pray for you during this time that you're going through. So I pray that this broadcast has blessed you this evening. I know that there was a lot of stuff that was going on. It sounded like some serious rain. Praise Yahweh for that. But we're working on it, and it seems to just be that Mixlr updated their software, and unfortunately, there's so many different plugins that we have to use in order to be able to use two mics and music and all of that. So sometimes when they update, our software is not compatible with the update, and then it causes complications. So we hope to have it fixed in the near future,
but
and
we also
it shouldn't be a problem.
We also know that that hopefully, you know, we will edit the recording this evening, and that we'll piece it all together like good patchwork.
Yeah, we'll do that.
And then when we upload it, if you do want to listen to it back again, feel free to do that. But again, like I said to you, that next week, well, definitely here in South Africa, it's due for the new moon to rise on Sunday next week, the 9th, and we will be looking out for the new moon, because obviously then that would signal the start of the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Teruah, and that would be actually quite amazing if we fellowship together on the coffee break on Yom Teruah. So we will just continue to look out for the moon. It may or may not come on Sunday or Monday, and then it's the start of these awesome feasts, which we are so looking forward to. So we just really want to pray that you will have such a great Shavuot Tov, and that you will just be blessed measure upon measure. And thank you so much for joining us. It has been a wonderful coffee break, and our cat says Shavuot Tov to all of you.
We're going to be playing out this evening with a song that's really on my heart, and it's called Why Not Now. And I really feel that this song is for a lot of you listening this evening. And I pray that you will experience a miracle in your life in the week that lies ahead. Mm-hmm. May Yahweh bless you, and may Yahweh keep you. And like the song says, if not me, then who? And if not now, then when? So I pray that Yahweh will truly, truly bless you, and that you will see His hand at work in your life this week. Shalom.
Shalom.
Release a miracle now. Oh. I heard you made the wine from water. You raised the dead to life with a simple word. And marveled at your signs, your wonders. They thought that you had died while you saved the world. And the Spirit fell like fire. So like a fire, come and fall again. 'Cause you know my body's broken. You know my eyes can't see.
for a miracle. So why not here? Why not me? Even when it all seems hopeless, even though we don't know how, Lord, we're believing for a miracle. So why not here? Why not now?